Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Glory to God.
Amen.
Time is moving so fast. The time of the return of our Lord Jesus Christ is very fast. When we think that already we have today part 19 of the book of Revelation, which is actually the 20th message, we see how fast time is going. Praise God. Revelation chapter 18, verse 10. It says, terrified at her torment, they will stand far off and cry, woe, woe, O great city of Babylon, city of power, in 1 hour your doom has come. It is significant that the Bible is talking so much about Babylon. It's not only in Revelation, we read throughout the Bible about Babylon. God commanded Noah and his descendants to spread over the whole world. But in opposition to God's command, Nimrod gathered all the people to Babylon, and there they built a big city and a tower devoted to their god Marduk. They stopped worshipping God and introduced idolatry. I told you in August last year about all the idolatry that came out of Babylon and spread into the whole world. Babylon means confusion or mixture. Because of their sin, God confused their languages. Babylon was a seat of the Babylonian Empire much later. And after the Babylonian Empire, it was a seat of the Medo-Persian Empire. And there also Alexander the Great died. Babylon was an important city of the old world. Revelation 17 and 18 are talking about two different kinds of Babylon. Babylon in Revelation 17 is a religious Babylon, the mother of prostitutes. European leaders have met in the Vatican to renew the revived Roman Empire with a pope in charge. They made a vow with the pope made a vow with them. The revived Roman Empire is the kingdom of the Antichrist. The Catholic Church and her teaching are an abomination to God, and their chief is a pope. Pope Francis is an idolater. He tries to unite all the religions. He doesn't feel shame to sit on the Buddha. He receives their representatives and he moves with Muslims. He doesn't hesitate to pray with people who pray to Satan and not to Yahweh. He receives anybody who adheres to his vision. He receives leaders of all world religions. I showed you pictures in the last study which showed the prostitute who wore scarlet and purple clothes, and I explained to you. Religious Babylon is the Antichrist world ecumenical religion. All religions are united with the Pope in charge. the last or the false prophet. The religious Babylon in Revelation 17 was destroyed by the Antichrist because the world leader helped him, the world religion helped him, the Antichrist, to come to power. But in the middle of the tribulation, for the last 3.5 years, the Antichrist abolished all religious worship unless it was to him. Babylon, the mother of prostitutes, the Vatican has fallen, never to rise again. Babylon, the city was standing on the river Euphrates, today's Iraq. Isaiah gave a prophecy about Babylon and about her destruction. In Isaiah 13, verses 19 to 22, it says, Babylon, the jewel of kingdoms, the glory of the Babylonian's pride will be overthrown by God like Sodom and Gomorrah. She will never be inhabited or lived in through all generations. No Arab will pitch his tent there. No shepherd will rest his flocks there. But desert creatures will lie there. Chakals will fill her houses. There the owls will dwell, and there the wild goats will leap about. Hyenas will howl in her strongholds, jackals in her luxurious palaces. Her time is at hand, and her days will not be prolonged. A similar prophecy was given by Jeremiah in chapter 50, verse 13. Babylon was an imposing city, the jewel of kingdoms. There was luxury, there was wealth, but God said it would be destroyed, never to be inhabited again. Never to be inhabited again. But there was a man who thought he can overthrow what God had said. Saddam Hussein, the Iraqi dictator, he started to rebuild Babylon. He started to build thinking he can make it his capital. He wanted the new Babylon to stand on the exact site where the old Babylon stood. Praise the Lord. Saddam Hussein wanted to become as great and influential as Nebuchadnezzar. In 1980, he attacked Iran, the neighbor Iran, in the first Gulf War, and expected to take Iran, Syria, Kuwait, and all the whole region into his new Babylonian kingdom. He built himself a palace in Babylon. He spent millions for his building projects. He wanted to show that he is like Nebuchadnezzar. Yet he didn't succeed. In 2006, he was killed. He was hanged by US troops. He built a magnificent palace. You see, Babylon had destroyed Jerusalem, and the temple became the symbol of the enemy of God and his people. Why am I telling you these things? Because the Antichrist will rebuild Babylon and make it into a political and commercial flourishing city. The whole East will become enormously rich and wealthy with its oil reserve, gas, and other natural reserves. The nations around her, Iraq will become very wealthy. And the nations around will be of great commercial influence and power. Because to the north, northwest of Babylon is Europe. In the south is Africa. In the east is China and India and Japan and all those countries there. So Babylon remains unbuilt to this day. The one who tried to start, he had to stop because his life was taken. Just a handful of tourists are viewing the site and the rubble and the ruins and making graffitis in his wonderful palace. We have to understand these points before we start to study chapter 18 of Revelation. Kings of the earth are queuing up to meet the false prophet. Mighty men of the world came to meet him, also US president. Putin came to this false prophet, and so did the Queen, who is ahead of the Commonwealth. But even Ban Ki-moon, came in the name of UN to welcome the Pope. And significantly, the Pope is standing under the UN flag, not under the Vatican flag. A political elite came to visit the Pope, who is the false prophet. I'm showing you these pictures that you understand that the stage is being prepared for the end. Now let us turn to Revelation 18, verse 1. It says, "After this I saw another angel coming down from heaven. He had great authority, and the earth was illuminated by his splendor." In Revelation chapter 17, an angel showed John the destruction of the religious Babylon. In chapter 18, another angel came to show John the destruction of the physical Babylon. He comes from heaven, that angel. He came from heaven. That means he came from God himself. And he comes with great power and authority. He has this authority and this power to destroy and to fulfill that judgment that God had pronounced. His message and mission are meant for the whole world. Then chapter 18, verse 2 and 3. With a mighty voice he shouted, "Fallen! Fallen is Babylon the Great. She has become a home for demons and a home for every evil spirit, a home for every unclean and detestable bird." For all the nations have drunk the maddening wine of her adulteries. The kings of the earth committed adultery with her, and the merchants of the earth grew rich from her excessive luxuries. the city nation of Babylon in the end times is a hub for commerce, for power of sin and sensuality. Then verses 4 to 8. Then I heard another voice from heaven say, "Come out of her, my people, so that you will not share in her sins, so that you will not receive any of her plagues. For her sins are piled up to heaven, and God has remembered her crimes. Give back to her, as she has given, pay her back double for what she has done. Mix her a double portion from her own cup. Give her as much torture and grief as the glory and luxury she gave herself. In her heart she boasts, 'I sit as queen, I am not a widow, and I will never mourn.' Therefore, in one day her plagues will overtake her: death, mourning, and famine. She will be consumed by fire, for mighty is the Lord God who judges her." John hears another voice which is warning. "My people, flee this city. My people, you remember that the church was raptured before the tribulation. So who are these my people? They are the tribulation saints, those who became Christians during the time of during this tough time. And maybe they are Christians, people who confess to be Christians, but they were not fit to be taken up in the rapture and stayed here." This parallels the Old Testament warning given to Lot, where an angel came to evacuate Lot from Sodom in advance of God's judgment. Not only does God want his people to avoid being caught up in the sins of Babylon, but he also warns them of that tangible judgment that is coming, and so they need to flee. The sins of Babylon are enormous, and their judgments from God will be in proportion to her sin. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. The command to come out of her is a warning to God's people to escape the judgment that is to come upon Babylon the Great. The false religious system had her time of influence when the kings of the earth committed adultery with her, and the merchants of the earth grew rich from the excessive luxuries. The command to come out of her finds a counterpart in history. In the end times, God's people are told to separate themselves from spiritual Babylon. But in the Old Testament, they were to flee and separate themselves from the physical Babylon. Jeremiah 51 verses 1 to 6, it says, "Flee from Babylon, run for your lives, run for your lives. Do not be destroyed because of her sins. It's time for the Lord's vengeance. He will pay her what she deserves." Her sins are piled up to heaven. And God has remembered her crimes. She will suffer a quick demise. In one day, her plagues will overtake her. Death, mourning, and famine. She will be consumed by fire. And the great city of Babylon will be thrown down, never to be found again. Let us read verses 9 and 10. When the kings of the earth who committed adultery with her and shared her luxury see the smoke of her burning, they will weep and mourn over her. Terrified at her torment, they will stand far off and cry, "Woe, woe, O great city of Babylon, city of power, in one hour your doom has come." In chapter 17, a religious Babylon was said to have fallen, but there was no notable mourning from the leaders of this world. But here, in chapter 18, the fall of Babylon has an economy is met with grief. World leaders will see the smoke from her destruction. They stay far away and hope in hopes of avoiding the same fate. They have lost everything. The markets have gone down. The shares have gone down. Everything is lost. Then verses 11 to 19. The merchants of the earth will weep and mourn over her because no one buys their cargo anymore. Cargoes of gold, silver, precious stones and pearls, fine linen, purple, silk, scarlet cloth, every sort of citron wood, and articles of every kind made of ivory, costly wood, bronze, iron and marble, cargoes of cinnamon and spice, of incense, myrrh and frankincense, of wine and olive oil, of fine flour and wheat, cattle and sheep, horses and carriages, and bodies of souls of men. We have to remember that these are the goods, these were the expensive things at the time when John wrote Revelation. Verse 14 on it says, "They will say, 'The fruit you longed for is gone from you. All your riches and splendor have vanished, never to be recovered.' The merchant who sold these things and gained their wealth from her will stand far off, terrified at her torment. They will weep and mourn and cry out, 'Woe, woe, O great city, dressed in fine linen, purple and scarlet, and glittering with gold, precious stones and pearls. In one hour, such great wealth has been brought to ruin. Every sea captain and all who travel by ship, the sailors and all who earn their living from the sea will stand far off. When they see the smoke of her burning, they will exclaim, 'Was there ever a city like this city, great city?' They will throw dust on their heads and with weeping and mourning cry out, 'Woe, woe, O great city, where all who had ships on the sea became rich with her wealth. In one hour she has been brought to ruin.'" The city of Babylon collapses suddenly in a sudden judgment. It means catastrophe for the wealthy rulers of the earth. Merchants around the world also mourn for the fall of Babylon. What troubles them is the loss of thriving markets. Now that Babylon is just a pile of ashes, no one remains to purchase their goods. They mourn the loss of money more than they mourn the loss of people, the lives. Crass materialism characterizes them. The Apostle James addressed unscrupulous businessmen in his epistles. He wrote, come now, you rich, weep and howl for the miseries that are coming upon you. Behold, the wages of the laborers who mowed your fields, which you kept back by fraud, are crying out against you, and the cries of the harvesters have reached the ears of the Lord of hosts. You have lived in the earth in luxury and self-indulgence. You have fattened your hearts in a day of slaughter. I have condemned and murdered. You have condemned and murdered the righteous person. That was in James 5, 1 to 6. The objects of James' accusation typify the merchants of tribulation. Whatever loss of life accompanies the fall of Babylon, these men are primarily grieved over the loss of their businesses. Let's read verse 20. Rejoice over her, O heaven. Rejoice, saints and apostles and prophets. God has judged her for the way she treated you. The passage has described the fall of a city, possibly representing an entire nation or culture, as judgment from God for their wickedness and evil. Heaven rejoices over one sinner that repents, but heaven also rejoices when Babylon collapses. God, and God alone, is in the business of securing vengeance for his people. You read that in Romans 12. His vengeance may not come immediately, maybe not as soon as we would expect it, but it will come. When it does come, it comes without recompense. It does not let wrong, he, God Almighty, will not let wrong triumph over right. The hearts, the beast's end time reign is characterized by egoism, greed, cruelty, injustice. But with a powerful stroke, God puts it down. Praise God. God's judgment vindicates his righteous, holy character. Babylon's judgment was recompense for what she has done to the saints, apostles, and prophets who had to suffer through her. And then we read 21, verses 21 to 24. Then a mighty angel picked up a boulder the size of a large millstone and threw it into the sea, and said, with such violence, the great city of Babylon will be thrown down, never to be found again. The music of harpists and musicians, flute players and trumpeters will never heard in you again. No workman of any trade will ever be found in you again. The sound of a millstone will never be heard in you again. The light of a lamp will never shine in you again. The voice of a bridegroom and bride will never be heard in you again. Your merchants were the world's great men, but by your magic spell, all the nations were led astray. In her was found the blood of prophets and of the saints and of all who have been killed on the earth. Another mighty angel appeared and threw a big stone into the sea. The millstone was a very heavy stone, and it was used for pulverizing grain into flour. Here God is telling us that Babylon is going to be pulverized into nothing, just as a heavy millstone pulverizes grain. Just as a grain goes under the millstone, and as the stone rolls away, there is powder. In the same way, Babylon will be under judgment by the hand of God. It will no longer be a great city with much power, but it will become like nothing as it is ground to powder. It will be ground to powder, which means total destruction. The words "with violence he threw it into the sea" are used only one time in the New Testament. And in the Greek, it carries with a meaning of sudden rush or violent impulse, which conveys the meaning that the destruction of Babylon is going to be fast and furious. The millstone is cast into the sea, which is many nations. The sea symbolizes many nations of the earth. Peoples or groups of people, languages of the earth, where the kingdom of Satan dwells. At one time, Babylon was alive with music of the world. It was alive with all kinds of craftsmen being busy in their trades, and even those who used a millstone for baking bread and making grain will be no longer be heard in her, because the day of judgment has come. The body of Christ has ministered and witnessed within Babylon for thousands of years. Instead of the world embracing the true gospel, it looked to the merchants as their authority. But their authority was buying and selling in the beast system, which had completely deceived every nation. Here once again is a formal accusation of the evil, murderous nature of the kingdom of Satan. It was responsible for the murdering of true believers right from the time of Abel down to the last person who will be killed before the return of Jesus Christ. It was also responsible for not only slaying Christians, but killing all those who stood in its way. God closes his vision with a formal accusation that the kingdom of Satan is a murderous kingdom, that That is why it will be ground to powder because of all the sins against God. Chapter 17 and 18 depict the consequences of the tribulation, which seem to have happened parallel to the various seal judgment, trumpet judgment, and bowl judgments. Chapter 19 will resume describing a timeline, including the end of the tribulation and the earthly return of Jesus Christ. This chapter tells us not to trust in things of the world. The Bible tells us not to trust in things of the world. It says in 2 Corinthians 4:18, "So we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but on what is unseen. For what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal." When everybody went to work as normal as on every other day, as usual, suddenly the Twin Towers came down. Within an hour, everything had changed. In the same way, the destruction of Babylon will come in an instant. But that destruction will lead to the return of Jesus Christ, who will come to erect his millennial kingdom. Our job today is to warn people of this world of the coming destruction. Warn them to turn to the Lord Jesus Christ. Only if they turn to the Lord Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior can they be saved. Can they be raptured together with us without having to go through all these trials and troubles. What we need to do is to commit ourselves completely and totally to the things of God. Not to think about the things of the world. What is in the world is not important. It will pass away. Trust in God. What is in the world will pass away, but his word remains forever. Amen. Trust in his word. Amen. And not in the things of this world.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen.